A whole lot going on in the basketball world. Here to give us the latest and share his thoughts on what he thinks might happen, we're joined by Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing today?
Well, I'm excited to see what's going to happen here in the next few hours with, oh, I don't know, is it too much to say the future of the Celtics hanging in the balance?
No, I mean, I don't know if I want to go that far, right? But, you know, the next, you know, couple of hours and then tomorrow will determine, and you could include Friday, may reshape the Celtics in a way, may put them closer to that championship or maybe put them farther away. This Gordon Hayward situation is very interesting. It's intriguing. And, you know, you're hearing his name out there, Kemba Walker, as well. Ultimately, I think, you know, we may have seen the last of Gordon Hayward in a Celtics uniform.
Do you think we're likely, after we get through the draft tonight, looking at a sign and trade?
Yeah, I think so. I think how this went down, Rich, and this is just me hypothesizing, you know, Gordon Hayward told Danny Ainge, I'm going to opt out. I'm going to become a free agent. And Ainge said, hold on here. Let me see if I can swing a deal maybe to get some assets in return, send you to a place where you want to go. And it helps sort of both sides. You know, it helps Hayward from the standpoint, you know, he'll get his money, obviously. And it helps the Celtics because if not, you lose him for nothing. And so I think that's how that went down. It'll be interesting. Like, what's Danny Ainge's master plan, though? Is it to move up in the draft and get a high draft pick and keep a young player like that? Or maybe flip a high draft pick and go out there and get a guy like a James Harden?
Well, yeah, we'll find out fairly soon here. I'm frankly surprised we haven't heard anything yet, but we've talked with you about this before. They're unlikely to use all three of those first-round draft picks. How high can they get? Is number three even a possibility?
I don't think so, unless you're talking about, you know, a Jaylen Brown or,
no,
you know, or yeah, it has to be a name, right? I think the highest they could go is probably like number nine, eight, nine, maybe at the highest. You know, the draft picks that they have just aren't that desirable. You got the 14th, and then you got 26 and 30. You know, you throw all three of those together, you know, maybe you get up to nine, like I said. You're going to have to include a player. Maybe a Gordon Hayward, you know, can get you up there at number seven, number six with Atlanta, maybe. But I just don't think your draft capital that you have is that enticing to other teams.
So I should put away my Cole Anthony fantasy for another day?
Yeah, you're going to have to hold off on that. Not going to happen. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the Celtics make a pick at number 14 and then maybe even at number 26 also, but then maybe send that number 30 pick, either draft and stash guy or you know, maybe turn it into 2 second-round picks or something like that. Because like we said, they're not going to use all three picks, because then that would mean guaranteed spots on the roster for the three first-rounders, and they just don't have the room for that.
We're talking with Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. What's your best guess, Kyle? Where does James Harden end up after all this? Is it Brooklyn?
You know, usually in these situations, the player gets what he wants, right? We look at the Anthony Davis situation, and after all that hemming and hawing, he eventually wound up with the Lakers. With that being said, you know, if I'm Houston, you don't owe James Harden anything. You know, you have to do what's best for your franchise. Now, if Brooklyn comes up and has the best offer, sure, take it. But, you know, if I'm them, I'm in no rush to trade James Harden because you don't have to be. What's the rush? You know, if you don't get it done today, maybe you get it done in 2 weeks. I mean, I want to hear everybody's best offer before I release a talent like that.
Been a flurry of trades here in the last couple of days. Has Milwaukee improved themselves more than anybody?
Yeah, I think so. I think if all these trades go through, they become the class of the Eastern Conference. You know, the thing about Milwaukee, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of shooting around Giannis. They had guys that could make shots, but they didn't have shooters. If this Bogdanovich trade goes through, he's a shooter. Drew Holiday is a shooter as well. He can shoot the ball, and he can play on both ends of the floor. And so it's definitely an upgrade for them. You know, and one of the things I talked to some of the guys about the other day is when Giannis comes off the floor, now you got two guys and throw Middleton in, that's three guys who can still score for you, who can still handle the ball. And so this just makes Milwaukee that much more versatile and that much more difficult to match up with. And so if these trades go through, I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Let's shift a little bit and talk some football. The Patriots with a terrific victory over the Baltimore Ravens the other night. That's two in a row for this team. Do they still obviously mathematically have a shot at the playoffs, but can they do enough to get it done with a limited number of games left?
Yeah, I think they're still in the mix. You know, I think they still have a chance. I think they have the 16th easiest schedule. So they're right in the middle in terms of schedule. But let's not forget, you know, they still play Miami. They still have a game against the Jets. And so when you look at their schedule, sure, they have some games that, you know, are going to be tough to win, but they also got some games they can, you know, go out there and win. So are we talking a 9-7 team? Does that get you in the AFC playoffs? Perhaps. And so, you know, I thought this win the other day against the Ravens was Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, the whole coaching staff, their best job of the season. I thought they had the Ravens thoroughly flummoxed. Lamar Jackson was efficient, but, you know, you would think that Ravens offense would be a little more potent. And how about the ability of the Patriots to move the ball, you know, on the ground in this game? And so I give kudos to Bill Belichick. I've been ripping him hard the last few weeks, and so I want to give him some praise because I thought the coaching staff did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, and clearly, speaking of that ground game, Damian Harris was worth the wait.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's talk, when Sony Michel comes back, what's going to happen? Damian Harris is your number one back. Yeah. He's your first down, your second down. He's the guy you hand the ball off to. And you know, Josh McDaniels and the coaching staff, they've said it. This guy runs hard, right? Even with guys at the line of scrimmage, you know, he's still going to hit into them, maybe get a couple of yards, you know. Whereas I felt Sony Michel is so indecisive when he gets the ball. It takes him too long to decide on what he's going to do. Damian Harris doesn't have that problem. So it looks like he's their starting running back, and I'm okay with that because he's been, you know, great. My question is, what took him so long, right? You know,
right.
Why have we gone back to Sony Michel? And, you know, it's good to see Damian Harris, take that role and run with it.
Kyle, we haven't talked with you since the passing last week of Tommy Heinsohn, and we know what he meant to the Celtics organization. He is Mr. Celtic to so many people, but what was he like for you to work with?
No, he was great. He was larger than life. Think about it, Rich. And, you know, he was a walking encyclopedia. You know, he knew everything about the NBA. There's probably nobody alive that could, you know, break down Bill Russell's game and also break down Jason Tatum's game. Mm-hmm. You know, think about all the players in the NBA he's seen come through over the years. And so it was definitely heartbreaking. And I tell everybody, you know, after working with Tommy, you know, for what, almost 11 years or whatever it's been, you know, he's not just a coworker. I would call him a friend. And, you know, there's nobody that personifies being a Celtic more than Tommy Heinsohn. And think about it. You know, I talked to, you know, some of the ownership from the Celtics. Like, are we talking about the Celtics as this elite organization, the passion of the fans, if there was no Tommy Heinsohn? You know, think about it. He's pretty much touched every Celtics fan from the beginning till this point. And so you got kids, you know, under 10 who know who Tommy Heinsohn is. And so I just feel like, you know, he took that Celtics, passion and the energy of the fan base and took it to a different level. And, you know, the Celtics wouldn't be where they are without Tommy Heinsohn.
No question about that. At what time can we tune in for you and for draft coverage tonight?
Yeah, we got our special draft show beginning at 8 o'clock tonight. Got me, Scal, Kendrick Perkins, Chris Mannix, Chris Forsberg. And so we're on for 2 hours straight tonight at 8 o'clock, Rich. And when the Celtics make their pick, make sure you tune in because we're going to have instant reaction. We're going to hear from Brad Stevens during the show. And then late in the night, we got Danny Ainge as well. So make sure you guys tune in.
There you go. NBC Sports Boston, the place to be with tonight and every night. Kyle Draper, thanks as always. Have a good week, and we'll check in with you again next Wednesday.
All right, Rich. Talk to you soon.
Kyle Draper on Downtown.